Word of God said you did run well. What hindered you that you wouldn't obey the truth? I want you to know that we have been here in service. We have seen the freedom of God working, and we've seen the Holy Ghost trying to come into some lives. I'd like to give you the order of the way this thing works. Because I see people that are just as eager and fervent in their desire to help folks as they can be, and sometimes they over-encourage them, get in the way rather than or help. Jesus was talking to his disciples one time, and he told them he was going to go away. And they was very sorrowful because he'd walked with them and he taught them the way of God, and he'd heal the sick among them, and he'd cast out devils, and he gave the blind sight and caused the crippled to walk and the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And they had seen all these things, and he had literally taken a little handful of bread and a few fish and fed thousands of them, and they had more left over than they started with. And now he told them he was fixing to leave them. And the Word of God said, he told them, sorrow has filled your heart because I tell you I must go away. But he said, nevertheless, it's expedient for you. That means it's better for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter won't come. St. John 14:26 tells us what the Comforter is, the Comforter which is the Holy Ghost. He said, now if I go not away, the Comforter will not come, but if I go away, I will pray the Father, and he will send you another Comforter. While he was here, he was a comfort to the people, and he was a light to them. Great light come into the world, and was a light to all people. But he said, I'm going away, and I'll pray my Father, and he'll send you another Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He said, when he has come, whom I'll send you from the Father. Well, he said, when the Spirit of truth is come, whom I will send from the Father, when he has come, he will testify, and ye shall bear witness. Now, the reason I told you all that was for this reason. There is an order to people receiving the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. 8th chapter of Romans, 9th verse, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Spirit of Christ is very, very necessary. Ephesians 4:30 said, for you and me, as children of God, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, wherewith you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, the way this works, to start with, I guess I better stop with that, grieve not the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Ghost was grieved here today. And it was grieved before we got here. And I hate to be the one to tell you this. Every once in a while I have some people come by, boy, and they all ready for a big fuss about something. And I say, I hate to be the one to have to tell you about this. But somebody has got to tell you. Where's Mandy? Way back over there by herself. How many of you know why that the Holy Ghost didn't come into her life and why she wasn't sealed with the Holy Ghost today? Any of you like to say, I know the reason? Somebody said, oh, the devil done it. Yeah, I know. But who did the devil send to do it? This thing is serious, people. This Holy Ghost that we talk about, that we seek, we try to follow him all through the darkest of night, the worst storms, all kind of wars, everything that comes along. We still looking for that Holy Ghost to be in the lead and direct us in the right way. And that word, the Holy Ghost mentioned 89 times in the Bible. One time just Holy Ghost or any Holy Ghost. About 77 times. That is a personal spirit that it comes unto people, directs them, leads them, guides them, fills them, seals them, and makes them a child of God. And that word, the Holy Ghost, is so precious that if you, I, or anybody in the world speaks one word against it, Jesus said it will never be forgiven you in this world, neither the world to come. That's how important the Holy Ghost is. The very Spirit of Almighty God. The best thing it was ever known to God to give to mankind in this world, His Spirit. So I'm going to tell you something. I see people trying all kinds of ways to help people get there. You want to know how to help people get there? You get out of their face and get out of their way and get down there before God. Now, I'm not talking about don't get up around them and pray. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you talk to them, you talk to him like the Word of God tells you to, and I'll tell you what he said. If any speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. That's the Word of God. Those of us that was born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, of the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. If you receive that Spirit, the Holy Ghost in your life, you're going to know what I'm fixing to tell you. God wanted to pour the Holy Ghost out here. But there is a seed had been sown to Mandy. Mandy, I tell you what, pay attention because God's going to help you. Thank God. I feel good right now. But there's something, and there is somebody that is letting their tongue run with their charity, visiting somebody else or something. There's somebody that is running to and fro, talking things. The Word of God said, speaking things they ought not to speak. Now, y'all just bear with me, but I'm telling you this. He said, if you will judge yourself, you shouldn't be judged. But when you are judged, you're chastened of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. He said the chastening of the Lord is grievous to be borne. And I don't want to take up a lot of time talking to you about how the chastening of the Lord works, but I'll just tell you a little bit. A man had a little son that he loved more than just about anything else in this world, in the Bible, and he went and did wrong. And the chastening hand of God reached down there in his home and let him watch his little son gradually die, and him fasting and praying and weeping and mourning and doing everything he could do. The chastening hand of God is grievous to be borne. I'm going to take up enough time to read if I can. Turn over here. I'm just trying to find where I want to start here. I don't want to take up much time. We're here for a good reason. Alright, he said, we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Let's don't be carried about with everything that comes along. It's a good thing, he said, if a heart be established. Let's be established where we're at. I want to tell you something. You can't establish me to save your life. And the only way I can establish you is tell you what the Word of God said, and it's up to you whether you obey it or not. Y'all know what this is right here? This is called the Bible. If it was translated just from the original translation, it'd simply be called the book. This is the book. This is the Bible. It's in this book right here that we understand and know that there is a God. Without this book, we would not know it. We understand there is a devil. The word Satan means the adversary. He's an adversary to God and all God's goodness in this world. He was cast down out of heaven because he refused to stay in the place God had put him, and he began to intrude into the place that he was not to intrude into. That's why it is such a fearful thing when God puts somebody in a work, don't fail to do it. But if God don't put you in that work, don't intrude into it. God does not play games. Very small book. I've read it through hundreds of times. And you can too. But guess what? Every time I read it through, I learned something that I didn't know. And if I get to read it through another 100 times, I'll still learn something every time I read it through. But if this be the truth, then why not follow, as St. Luke said, he set forth in order, the perfect order of salvation for men and women. Why not follow that, and why not leave off our traditions, our ideas, our opinions, and our own lustful ways to try to prove it to be like we want it? Because in the end, every bit of that'll burn. Only the pure in heart see God. Therefore I testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. If we cannot understand what it means in this book where he says, come out from among them. Speaking of the world, its traditions, religious orders, and everything else that is in the world, and be ye separate, touch not, taste not, handle not the unclean things, and I will receive ye, saith the Lord. Now I want you to remember something. God made a promise. And he said, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless you. And that we, by two immutable things, can lay hold on eternal life. Two things that can't be changed or disputed. Come God's way and remember, leave off our ways. If our heart is so blinded to what right and wrong is, face up to it and go down before God and seek God till you can walk in the marvelous light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness? But ye have not so learned Christ. We didn't learn Christ that way. If so be that ye have tasted him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus that you put off concerning the former conversations, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, there are some things that has got to be put off. You know what that means? That means got rid of. Stopped. Quit. And be renewed in the spirit of our mind. When we put off gossiping. When we put off, brethren, when we put off letting our mind be satisfied with the wrong kind of entertainment. Brethren, I got to talk like the Word of God gives it to me. And here I got to tell you, when you begin to look upon the wrong thing and follow after the wrong thing, beloved, it's time to make sure where you're at with the Lord. And put on. Let's say after you put off that sort of foolishness, there's some things to be put on. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Another scripture tells us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. You folks that just started off, one's going to be baptized here and another one's going to get to be baptized down there in that cold Tennessee River in a few days. But every day, you don't just put on those pretty clothes you wear. My wife claims I'd wear them over and over, but you don't do that. When you get them dirty, you take them off. And you put on clean clothes. Now he's telling you to lay all your filthy conversation down, all your gossiping down, all you knowing more than you ought to know in the Lord, everything that is falling after the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life, lay that down and start putting on as the elect of God, the chosen of God, the things that God will have you to carry around with you. Well, somebody would gotta say, well, what in the world is that? Well, let me see if I can't tell you by the Word of God. Whatsoever thing is honest. Whatsoever thing is honest. This is a quotation from the scripture. It's not me. I don't have anything worthwhile up here. But if it's honest, he says, whatsoever thing is honest. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. A child of God hadn't got any business dealing with anybody in a dishonest matter any way it is. Whatsoever thing is honest. Whatsoever thing is just. Whatsoever thing is pure. Whatsoever thing is lovely. If there be any virtue. If there be any praise. Think about this for just a moment. He said, think upon these things. If there be any praise. Brother, I said a long, long time ago. You know, I've dealt with people, the public just for many, many years. A long time ago, I learned something. Somebody would come by and say, you know old Rusty Wilkins? I've seen him around. Let me tell you something about him. He thinks he can sing better than anybody. I said, yeah, but you know something? He sure does like you. She said, yeah, and I like to hear him sing too. You see how quick he'll change him around? You don't have to let people slander other people that you love to your face. You got a right to turn them around and start them in the right direction. And I want you to know, children of God, is at one time in their life, they received a sound mind. When that spirit come in, he gave you a spiritual mind. Now, if you put on some more, it's just like putting on a dirty clothes. It's already too filthy to wear. So don't do it. Let me get back over here where I was reading from. Think on what's everything is honest, what's everything is just, What's everything is pure? What's everything is lovely? If there is any virtue and if there's any praise, think on them. If you want to run over there and see old Brother Randy somewhere, you want to run over there to see him, run over there and think of something that's good and just and honest and pure and virtue and of a good report that you can tell him. And when you leave, boy, he'll just feel so much better. Slip over and tell him, old Brother Max, I tell you what, I kept my car down there and he just messed it up good. Still charged me for it. Brother Max runs the garage. You know what you're going to do? You're going to go off and you don't know why, but you're going to try to pray and your prayer don't get that high because you're a talebearer. And old Brother Randy's going to be sitting over there saying, boy, I ain't going to carry my car down there to Max. I'm going to get a kid over there, that black fella over there on the ridge. He can beat that. And you have sown discord and God hates you. That's what the Word of God said. These six things doeth the Lord hate. Yea, seven, that is abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, feet that are swift to run to mischief, and a false witness that testifieth lies. And here comes the bombshell, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. I didn't tell you that I said that. I didn't dream that up. These six things doth the Lord hate. Beloved, you know what? Someone has right here. You're going to say, Brother Bevan, you come up here and jumped on us. Believe you me, we got a couple of three here, and they'll tell you I jump on them down there when they do it too. You say, when they do it, they do it. And I jump on them because this is too pure. And we're striving. We're trying our best to pull the people out of the fire that they're headed into. The Word of God tells us to, on some making a difference, pulling them out of the fire, despising even the garment spotted with the flesh. We're here, beloved, to be a help. I want you to know something. From this day forth, when you talk to somebody, if they've got salvation, will you see if you can encourage them to live for God? When you talk about a child of God, you see if you can think of something good to say about them or keep your mouth shut about them. And if you go and you talk to somebody that is lost, they don't want to hear about the business of the church. They don't need to hear about the business of the church. They don't need to hear about somebody divorcing their husband or their husband divorcing their wife or somebody cheating on their husband or their wife or somebody doing this and that. They don't need to hear any of that. If you're a child of God, I'll tell you what you do. You carry a message of life or keep your mouth shut and stay home. Brother Max, I know a few days I won't be here. I don't know how long, and I'm not worried about that. But one thing is for sure. I consider myself every time that I have an opportunity to stand up. I don't care what kind of denomination it's before or who it's before. I consider myself a man who is dying because I have already lived 2 years longer than man's got a promise in this world. And I know I'm going along here, but I consider I am carrying a message of eternal life. And that's what I'm doing. And that's why God has kept me here this long. And when he gets ready, Sister Myrtle, he's going to call me on. And when I stand up there, I'm going to have to give account for every blunder I ever made, just like you are. But beloved, in the meanwhile, while the Apostle Paul said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God, and now take heed unto yourselves and unto the whole flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For he said, I know that after my departure many grievous wolves shall enter in among you and will not spare this flock. And of your own selves, he said, shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Beloved, we're in the last days. Trouble is on every hand. We're getting ready to look out yonder and see an awful war. We're getting ready to. We may open up our eyes just like I was. Got up one morning and had just got up and was getting around the house. I got a telephone call from over in Texas. Says, "Have you got the television on?" I said, "No." They said, "Turn it on." I went in there and turned it on. It showed the World Trade Center blazing, the smoke going up and all. I looked over in the Word of God. The smoke of those things actually was being seen from a satellite station way out in space. All the, that smoke was broadcast all over the world. And the Word of God said people would see it. We saw it. Beloved, that's the part of history we're in right now. Now, what I want you to do, let no. Well, let me just back up. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What in the world does that mean? That means if something comes by and you get angry about it, you stay real quiet. You get out over yonder somewhere by yourself somewhere and you take this up with God till God moves it, because when the sun goes down and you still toting that, you in trouble. Brother, I like to carry that that makes folks shout, but I hold out rather keep people from going down to eternal damnation that could be rejoicing in the Holy Ghost. Neither give place to the devil. What does it mean to give place to the devil? I want to give you a little example. I told Brother LJ and Sister Myrtle a while ago, I use myself as an example because I'm such a good one. Well, that's not the reason I do it. Actually, the reason I do it is because I know what I've been through. I'd received the Holy Ghost, and man, I was walking around there, and I was something, man. I had the Holy Ghost. Brother Kenneth, I mean, I didn't want to do nothing but live just what God wanted me to do, and I couldn't hardly stand just about anything that was wrong. I was, old saying is, walking on air. There was a fella that he and I had been buddies when I was back out in the world, and he was beating his wife. I'm going to tell you something. A man that beats his wife is a sorry, no-account critter. Always felt like that. And I had the Holy Ghost, see. I could just talk to anybody, so I went up there and I says, "Boy, let me tell you something. A man don't do a thing like that. A man wouldn't beat on his wife. She was expecting a little baby. Guess what he done? He was about ready to beat on me." And the bad thing about it was, he knew me back yonder just a few weeks before that. And you couldn't have paid him until he got in my face then. But you see, the devil was on his side. And here I am, trying to correct a no-account piece of human trash that would beat on his wife and her expecting to bring forth his own child in the world. What did I expect out of him? And you know what I did? I learned a lesson that has lasted me about 50 years. I just turned around and I walked away and I got in the truck and I drove up the road. And an old boy, just as mean as a snake, running, caught up with the truck as I pulled out, climbed in, says, "I know you." And he did. And he knew the kind of life I had lived. And he said, "I want to ask you a question." Said, "If that man had hit you, you'd have killed him." Said, "I know you, you'd have done it." And said, "I just want to know." He said, "It would have made you so mad, you couldn't have helped yourself." Says, "God wouldn't have held that against you, would he?" Boy, listen, God had already begun to chastise me. That's the reason I left. I said, "Yes, he would." I said, "I'd like to tell you what my mistake was. I had no business going up there and talking to that man. That was none of my business. Now, the next time you decide to go interfere with somebody's business, be willing to get your jaws slapped, kicked around a little bit, maybe your arm broke or something like that. If you're not ready to suffer that and give God the honor and praise, beloved, you stay out of it altogether. That's what he taught me. And I said, well, boy, he just made a wimp out of you. No, he didn't. I walked out of the office one night, about 9:30, looked out there, and there was about 10 or 12 black people. They'd caught a white woman right out there from our office in Huntsville, Alabama. And I had on a shield. And I walked out there among them, made them turn her loose, let her get in the car and leave. I wasn't mad. I wasn't threatening anybody. But I went out there with the power of God on my side. She got in the car and left. Now, I want to tell you something. The difference was I was saving a woman's life. The next morning, some of them are in the place where we work, come out and said, boy, that was a brave thing you did. I said, that was a foolish thing. If I'd have thought it over, I sure wouldn't have done it. And don't expect me to ever do that again. The woman come by talking with me about it. I said, listen, you go out there and let that bunch catch you again. Don't look for me to help you. Be led by the Holy Ghost. God will take care of you. Do that is against the word of God, and the devil will take up with you and be your buddy. Now, I didn't mean to take up so much time here, but I'm going to go ahead and read that. He said, let me go on. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. I told you that little story because I gave place to the devil when I went up and started trying to correct a fella that I had no business fooling with. That was the dead burying their dead. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto them that hears. Satan will use, Sister Betty, just a little gossip that you carry to somebody. At the time, he'll just put that back in store. And at the time that person needs God more than anything else, Sister Betty said this, Sister Myrtle said this, I'm using y'all because y'all don't do that, thank God. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, wherewith ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Ghost can be grieved. And when the Holy Ghost is grieved, it grieves the children of God. Remember this. Now he said, let all A-double-L bitterness and wrath, you know what wrath is? That's not just mad, that's really mad. Violent angry is to be the proper definition. And angry and clamorer and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Beloved, I'm reading to you from the fourth chapter of Galatians, and that's the 31st, Ephesians, I'm sorry, and that's the 31st verse of the fourth chapter. Let it all be put away from you, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgave you. This, old brother Alvin Bailey used to say, this is a sure enough. This is to be done. The question has been asked in the Bible. I'm going to get away from that. And I'm going to say we're getting ready to go into a baptizing service. Somebody might say, well, what good is that? She's already received the Holy Ghost. Because that is part of God's order. just like you laying aside everything in your life, and as you go, you will grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. But I'm going to turn to the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, because the question was asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? The context is, what shall we do to be saved? The question is asked, what can we do to be saved, is asked essentially three times in the Bible. So the answer given in the Bible is the answer we need to hear, and that answer is repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and them that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. So the Holy Ghost is promised to you. Water baptism is necessary. 16th chapter of Mark, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Now we know these, most of us know that, but I want to go over to one more scripture, and then I will really try to get out of the way of this part of the service. But I'm going over to Matthew, and I want to read just a verse or two here, because it was here Jesus gave one of the last commands he ever gave while upon the face of this earth, after he had been crucified, after he was buried, after he rose from the grave, he gave these instructions. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And he didn't say stop there. He says teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So that is our purpose, being up here, and we rejoice in that. And for some reason, that we only got one to be baptized. We had one to receive the Holy Ghost over in Wednesday night service, but we have one here, and we ought to have about a dozen. But God knows the heart. And believe you me, I believe we're going to see some more folks receive the Holy Ghost. I'm looking for it, expecting it. But I will take this opportunity, Brother Johnny, to, I guess everybody here knows it, but next Sunday we are dedicating a new church, South Pittsburgh Mountain. And, of course, we'd like for everybody to come. So at this, I guess we'll prepare to go ahead and I'll let you tell them how to go about preparing, and I'll go back and get dressed.
Thank the Lord. Wonderful thing to come to the place where you know that Jesus wrote your name in the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You notice we haven't yet spoken of joining the church. Strange thing. That word don't appear in God's Bible. But by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, bond or free, have at all been made to drink into one Spirit. We're so glad that the Holy Ghost being poured out from the very throne of God. Jesus looked down as this sister right here lifted up her heart one last time toward God. Jesus looking down and knew the heart and knew when she surrendered her life to become a child of God. Jesus said, I'll pray the Father and he'll send you the Holy Ghost, the other comforter. Jesus turned his eyes toward the Father in glory and said, Father, she's ready for your Spirit. And the Word of God tells us the Holy Ghost was poured out. And the Holy Ghost fell. And this time it fell upon her. And when the Holy Ghost fell upon her, then it was between her and Almighty God, Son Jesus. So she accepted the Holy Ghost, received him into her life. And when the Holy Ghost come in, it didn't stop there, just coming in made her shout, but he started doing a heart operation. Now, I've had men to operate on my heart and I didn't like it. I can tell you right now, if you got a good heart, take care of it, because you don't like what men do to it. But beloved, God made a heart transplant. He said, I took away that old heart of flesh. I took away that old heart of stone and I give her a heart of flesh.
Yep, Lord.
And you know, in that heart of flesh, he started writing his laws. Just slowly writing them. And when I started in the Lord a long time ago, I read in the Word of God where he said, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law doeth he meditate day and night. And I thought, Lord, I can't meditate on your law. I don't know them. But beloved, he started writing them there. And I know them now, thank God. Why? Because he said, I'll put my laws in the name of God. Praise the name of our God. I'll put my laws in their heart, and in their mind will I write them, in their sin and iniquity will I remember no more. I can't even think about coming up with anything more precious. She received the Holy Ghost. Didn't even stop there. He said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he says, whom I shall send unto you from the Father, he'll testify. She found herself, her tongue moving in what is called the cloven tongue. Not Chinese, not Japanese, Russian, or even English. No. It's like that all over the world. Same tongue. Just the Holy Ghost just took hold of it and testified back. Just like Jesus said would happen. And then he said, and ye shall bear witness. This sister's bearing witness right now. This is part of her witness. She's walking out here just like the Word of God told her to. Be baptized, washing away your sins. Thank God. Can y'all think of anything better? I tell you what, where's Mandy at? I don't see how you standing over there myself. I really don't. Glory to God. I don't see how you can keep from just receiving the Holy Ghost right now. Just turn your life over. Woo! Glory to God. Thank God. This thing is real and this thing is good. And this is salvation from God. Not a make-believe. Beloved, this is a real thing to you today. You want to be a child of God. Turn your life over to God. And when he pours it out, receive it. When he comes upon you, cast down every imagination, every thought. Lord, I want to be your child. I better go ahead with this. Put one hand across your mouth, one across your waist. You'll go down completely under the water. And then, Lord, I didn't get answered. Thank God. Children of God, I don't see how in the world that you can just hardly stand it. This goodness of God. Thank God. One more name written on the Lamb book of life. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Oh Lord, according to your command, I now baptize this my sister in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Woo! Glory. Glory. Praise God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Thank God.